Jesus said, "There will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars, and on the earth distress among nations, confused by the roaring of the sea and the waves. People will faint from fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now, when these things begin to take place, stand up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near." Then he told them a parable. "Look at the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is already near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you will know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly, I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Be on guard, so that your hearts are not weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of this life, and that day does not catch you unexpectedly like a trap. For it will come upon all who live on the face of the earth. Be alert at all times, praying that you may have the strength to escape all these things that will take place, to stand before the Son of Man." The word Armageddon is an end of the world word. From chapter 16 of the book of Revelation, Armageddon is a symbol of the final battle against evil and wickedness, a battle that God wins. Armageddon is a symbol that by his cross and resurrection, Jesus Christ is victorious over sin, death, and the devil. This is our hope. This is our faith. God wins. No matter how powerful evil is, we believe in the victory of Jesus Christ. The word Armageddon has been around for 2,000 years. As a play on that word, Snowmageddon has been around about 20 years. Snowmageddon refers to a major snowstorm that shuts down roads, schools, churches, airports, public transportation, and planned events of all kinds. And thus we are worshiping online today. The word Snowmageddon came to Erie in the winter of 2017 when it broke all types of records. It wasn't too long into the current snowstorm that this was called a Snowmageddon. We're certainly in a battle as we navigate this storm. In our gospel reading today, we heard about the end of the world when Jesus said, "Heaven and earth will pass away." He spoke about signs of distress in the sun, the moon, the stars, the seas, and nations. Though he didn't mention snow, this snowstorm that we're going through right now is such a sign of distress. Life is filled with all types of signs of distress and chaos. When someone we love is deathly sick, when someone we love dies, our lives are shattered. When such things happen, Jesus says that people will faint from fear. He doesn't use the word, but Jesus tells us that Armageddon happens to everybody. He said, such distress happens to all who live on the face of the earth. We all have troubles and difficulties. We all have Armageddons, Snowmageddons, all types of Geddons. This is the human condition. Jesus, God who came to be one of us, teaches us how to handle these times of chaos, the storms, the tragic losses, the disruptions of our lives. From the beginning of his teaching, the message of Jesus was to repent, turn away from sin, live a life worthy of being called a child of God. In today's gospel reading, he tells us not to be weighed down by sin. Life is hard. Life is hard. Don't make it harder by turning to sin and evil. Jesus also tells us to pray. Pray for strength. Life is full of Armageddons. Prayer doesn't always remove them. Prayer doesn't always remove the distress. Jesus tells us to pray for strength when we go through such times. A bit ago, I referred to Jesus saying that people will faint from fear. In the original language, the Greek, the word faint means to stop breathing. Our problems can take our breath away, sometimes literally. Many of you know that my favorite kind of prayer is breathing prayer. As disciples, we're fainting a lot from fear and worry. And when we do, our best prayer, I think, is to breathe. We breathe in the presence of God. We breathe in the love of God. We breathe in hope. Hope. We have four candles for Advent. They stand for hope, peace, joy, and love. Today, we breathe in hope. Our gospel reading today takes place very close to the death of Jesus. His suffering will soon take his breath away. The storyteller Luke says it outright. On the cross, Luke tells us Jesus cried out, committed his spirit to God, and then Luke reports he breathed his last. This was Armageddon. This was the end of the world of the earthly life of Jesus. This was the final battle between good and evil. It appeared as if death had won. But we know what happened on the third day. Death was defeated. In the resurrection, God won. Now, what happened to Jesus? That Armageddon? What happened to Jesus is a story for everybody. This is the human condition. Jesus said this happens to all who live on the face of the earth. And when he said this generation will not pass away until these things happen, I hold that this means his death, but also that no one in any generation can escape Armageddon. No one can escape the end of the world. No one can escape the end of our personal lives. We will all die. We will all take our last breath. And this is the good news. When you take your last breath, you enter into God's kingdom forever and ever. Forever and ever, you breathe the life of God. In the meantime, and that's where we're living, in the meantime, there will be signs. There will be reminders of death. There will be signs in the sun, the moon, the stars, the seas, the nations, even the snow. When these signs happen, this is our faith. God's kingdom is near. God is never far away from us. It's the storyteller Luke who gave us the words, "The kingdom of God is within you." Yes, God's kingdom is near. Luke gives us those words, "The kingdom of God is within you." That's how near God's kingdom is. So when you have trouble, when you have struggles, when you have trouble breathing, God's kingdom is near. When your family or any relationship is in distress, God's kingdom is near. Whatever our Armageddon is, God's kingdom is near. Near the end of worship today, we're going to sing a traditional Advent hymn, which I'd never sung before. I learned it this past week. It's titled, "Fling Wide the Door." Whatever Armageddon you're going through, what we do is we fling wide the door to our hearts and souls, and God's kingdom enters in. And listening to Jesus, we don't shut the door by being weighed down by sin and the worries of this life. No, we fling wide the door and we let God's life, we let God's energy enter into our hearts and our souls. We receive God's life and we receive God's energy. In the midst of our troubles, in the midst of our pain, in the midst of our suffering, we breathe in God's life. We breathe in the life-giving resurrection. For the next year, we're going to hear the story of Jesus as told by the storyteller Luke. I love that we begin Advent near the end of Luke's story. Sometimes it's good to read the end of the story first. You used to do that a lot. The end of Luke's story is clear. All of life's hardships, including the ultimate hardship, death, all of these hardships lead to life. Death leads to new life. Death leads to forever life. It's Armageddon, and God wins. In the next few weeks, we're going to be going backwards in Luke's story. And now that we know the end, we can better understand the beginning, the birth of Jesus. His birth makes sense when we know the end of the story. It only makes sense when we know the end of the story. And we'll hear that Jesus himself is a sign. Today we heard that he talks about all these signs in the sun, the moon, the stars, the seas, the nations, the snow. We're going to hear in a few weeks that Jesus himself is the sign. We'll be told by angels on that first Christmas night, this will be a sign for you. A child wrapped in bands of cloth, lying in a manger. This child, this baby is the first sign for us that God's kingdom is near. As disciples, we never lose sight of Jesus as our first and most important sign. During Advent, we focus on the birth of Jesus in Bethlehem, but it's more than a nice story. The birth of Jesus really means something to our lives. The birth of Jesus gives us hope because his birth leads to Armageddon, which is his victory over evil and death. The birth of Jesus leads to his resurrection. And as disciples, the same is true for us. Our birth will eventually lead us to our final Armageddon, the final victory over death, which Jesus won for us. 230 years ago, something very strange happened in New England. It was daytime, but everything suddenly got dark, as if it were nighttime. Nobody understood why. A lot of people thought that Armageddon had arrived. A lot of people thought that this is the end of the world as we know it. The Connecticut House of Representatives was in session. And this event happened in the middle of a debate. Many wanted to leave. It was Armageddon. It was the end. But the Speaker of the House said, "Bring the candles. We have work to do. For us, whatever the sign, however bad the Armageddons or the Snowmageddons get, we bring in the candles. We bring in the candles of hope, peace, joy, love. We bring in the candles and we get to work feeding the hungry, housing the homeless, doing the work of the church. We, as church, as disciples, bring hope into every Armageddon. How fitting it is that the first Advent candle stands for hope. Yes, my friends, bring in the candles. Bring in the candle of hope today. We have work to do as church. God's kingdom is near. Let us pray. Think of a problem that you have. Think of a problem that someone you love has. Think of a problem that's so bad that it even takes your breath away. And pray now for yourself. And pray for those you love. Pray in this time of Armageddon. Pray in these end times. Feel now the presence of God. Breathe. Breathe. Breathe in God's life. Breathe in hope. Fellow disciples, breathe in love. Breathe in hope.